Chapter 48. Spire Albion, Habel Landing, Nine Claws Territory. Raoul hurtled down the ventilation passageways that led toward the central dominion of the Nine Claws, taking no heed for silence. Speed was everything. Little Mouse was in danger, doubtless a prisoner, and the humans could not be trusted to handle her rescue with appropriate violence. They might be willing to leave someone alive, and Raoul was not prepared to tolerate incompetence where his personal human was concerned. He had just gotten her properly trained. The first of the Nine Claws sentinels heard him coming and emerged from the shadows to intercept him. But Raoul, Kit of Maul, had been fighting for his position since the time he could walk. He was large and he was strong, he was young and he was swift, and he was in no mood to tolerate such niceties as protocol. Raoul let out a war cry and left the first sentinel with both eyes, half his whiskers, and an entire ear undamaged once he permitted him to flee. Then he hurtled on. The scent of blood on him was enough to make the next pair of sentinels wary, and Raoul's hiss sent them leaping aside. They took up pursuit behind him, but were careful to keep their distance. The Prince of the Silent Paws scattered guardians from his path and collected a trailing tail who raced along behind him, their scents ablaze with wariness, chagrin, and, of course, curiosity. There was nothing like playing to their curiosity when it came to catching the attention of cats. Raoul ran an entire circuit of the Nine Claws' central chamber, gathering up every cat within dozens and dozens of pounces of the tunnels in question, and by the time he snapped to a halt in front of Norn's central chamber, there were 100 warriors and hunters following him. The entire group tumbled to a sudden halt, with the Nine Claws gathering in close to be able to observe Raoul with their own eyes. Even, Raoul noted, pleased, the guardian who had been luckless enough to be the first in his path. Two of the largest warrior cats stood before Raoul, blocking his way forward. Raoul was through with diplomacy. He padded toward them, his fur bristling, his tail lashing, and made his displeasure known with a sudden hiss. One of the warriors flinched, and Raoul discounted that one immediately from his consideration. He stalked around the other, back arched, blood on his claws.
"I will speak to Norn now," Raoul snarled. "You will escort me to him."
"Norn has not said that,"
the warrior began to say. Raoul struck. The warrior let out an ear-splitting yowl and reeled away, spinning madly and pawing in desperate pain at the rake Raoul had fetched him across one eye. Raoul whirled to the other guard, who skittered a half-pounds away and came to guard, his own back arched.
"I will speak to Norn now," Raoul said, in precisely the same tone of voice he had used a moment before. "You will escort me to him."
The warrior looked unhappily from Raoul to his wounded companion. Then his fur abruptly settled and he looked away, lashing his tail left and right.
"It is this way," the Nine Claws said. "Follow me, stranger."
Raoul promptly pounced on the warrior's back and set his teeth in the back of the cat's neck, a death grip if he chose it to be. The cat sent up a kit's yowl and flattened to the ground. Raoul spoke, though his teeth were engaged, as it was a cat's prerogative to do.
"I am Raoul, Kit of Maul of the Silent Paws of Habel Morning, and I'm in no mood for insolence. Do you understand?"
"I understand, Raoul,"
the warrior hissed.
"Run and tell your chief that I come,"
Raoul snarled, and sent the warrior on his way with a sharp nip and a cuff to his ears. The other cat shot off into the chamber ahead of him, and Raoul padded after him, as if in no great hurry whatsoever. Cats gathered around him, just as before, and Raoul could feel the eyes on him, including those dozens of kits. Good that he had accomplished most of the rough business before he entered the chamber. K- Kits were silly things at the best of times, and they would certainly have been imitating him in an instant had he engaged the other warriors before their eyes. All Kits needed to learn about blood between cats, and what it meant, and what made it necessary. But while they huddled in a chamber full of frightened tribe members was an ill place indeed to begin their education. For that matter, he was pleased Little Mouse hadn't seen it happen. She had such a high opinion of the cat's ability to manage conflict without violence. She had never gotten it through her gentle head that there was a time for a soft paw and a time for red claws. The burden of a chief or a chief's kit was to know one from the other. Raoul entered, trailing a third of the warriors of the clan, while the other two-thirds gathered around Norn's meeting area. As he sauntered into the center of the chamber, Raoul saw Norn sitting up upon his table, staring down with unreadable eyes. The warrior Raoul had berated was crouched in front of Neen, Norn's kit, speaking quietly, his fur flattened. Neen, for his part, looked outraged. The cats he had wounded entered. The first tattered, but in essence whole. The second might lose the eye Raoul had scratched. Bad luck for both of them. They padded gingerly around Raoul to join their compatriot near Neen. Clan Chief Norn studied the wounded warriors with steady eyes, and then drew himself up and wrapped his tail around his paws, hiding his claws. It was generally considered either a posture of peace or one of veiled fury. Norn had excellent control. Raoul wasn't sure which it signified.
"Chief Norn," Raoul said, not waiting to be addressed, "urgent matters bring me to your territory."
"Warriors," Neen yowled to the chamber, "this creature has drawn the blood of our kin. Tear it to shreds."
A low growl rose around the room. Raoul felt a surge of something like alarm. He might not be able to fight the entire populace of the Nine Claws warrior caste with only his own teeth and claws, though it was difficult to be certain. He did not let his concern show, of course. Such things were not done. He faced Norn and came to a halt, wrapping his own tail around his paws, in mirror of the Nine Claws chief. Something like a twitch of amusement might have shaken Norn's whiskers. Then he growled, far down in his deep chest, and the room became silent and still.
"I will hear the silent paws, stranger," Norn growled.
"Father,"
snapped Neen. Norn's head turned toward his kit. His eyes stared, level and unblinking. Neen let out a low growl. Norn regarded his kit for a moment, then turned to Raoul.
"Your words will mean little to me," Norn said, "if I do not know that you see clearly what troubles my realm, young Raoul."
Raoul yawned.
"Your people have been hunted like prey, O Norn,"
he replied. At that, the chamber again filled with growls of outraged pride.
"Hunted," Raoul snapped, rising and spinning toward the Nine Claws nearest him.
Offended or not, Raoul had defeated two of their warriors, one of them the chief's personal guard, without taking a scratch in return. They shied away from him.
"Hunted," Raoul said again, turning back to Norn. "Or why else have you gathered your kits into this chamber all together, like a brood of tunnel mice? You hope to protect them."
Norn's eyes narrowed to slits, then his tail tip twitched once, an acknowledgement.
"And?"
"Your people fear the silk weavers and their brood,"
Raoul continued.
"These are no wild creatures of the surface. These are weapons. They are under the control of a human who threatened you with the death of your kits should you not cooperate with its aims." "He knows nothing of our ways,"
snapped Neen, rising and padding out toward Raoul.
"Nothing of what our people may gain."
Raoul twitched his whiskers smugly at Neen.
"Ah," he said, "they have offered you both cream and claw, then. What was the bribe should your people remain uncommitted to the human war?"
"New territory," Neen snarled.
"New tunnels and halls in which our folk can hunt, our tribe can grow. Halls free of the human plague."
Raoul regarded Neen with pure contempt.
"So said a human to you? It must therefore be true."
He flicked his tail at Neen as he would at an annoying kit and said,
"You are no warrior. You are no hunter. You are an idiot."
"Father,"
Neen said, whirling to Norn. The fur of the Prince of the Nine Claws bristled with outrage.
"Will you permit him to say such things of our clan?"
Norn made a rumbling sound in his throat. Then he turned to Raoul and said,
"Our kits are our future. What would you have me do?"
"Teach them,"
Raoul growled, letting his voice carry to the hall.
"Will you bow to the will of humans? Will you show them how to meow and purr for human charity next? To catch their mice and leave them as gifts? To besot themselves on human plants, human drink?"
Raoul lashed his tail and bounded up onto the clan chief's furniture, all the way to the level just below Norn.
"Norn, chief of the Nine Claws, I would have you show them what it means to be free, to be cat."
Raoul turned to the room before hisses of outrage could rise.
"I have climbed the ropes to the den of the silk weavers."
He lifted the claws of one front paw.
"I have slain their brood by the score, and my humans have slain them by the hundred. They are dead. Their matriarch lies dead and rotting in a human tavern. Their mature hunters lie crouched around the approaches to a human camp in your own tunnels, in territory that these interlopers have taken from you all."
He whirled back to Norn.
"Now is your time, Nine Claws. They have no forces left to fall upon your kits. Now is our chance to strike them down. Give me every warrior in your clan. Let me remind them what it is to be cat, to deal with anything that could harm your kits with tooth and claw."
A chorus of excited yowls and low battle cries went up with that, enough to draw Norn's gaze from Raoul to scan the chamber. Norn's eyes came back to Raoul, and his voice dropped to a low, low growl, one for Raoul's ears alone.
"Is what you say true?"
"By my paws and ears, by my whiskers and tail,
it is true, O Norn,"
Raoul said.
"He lies," Neen screeched. "He seeks to use us, to shed our tribe's blood to protect his humans in their war, to leave our kits vulnerable and defenseless."
Raoul spun his head toward Neen, his vision suddenly sharpened with rage, his mouth suddenly watering with a need to taste blood.
"Presently," Raoul said, "I shall grow weary of your mewling."
"I say this creature is a fool," Neen cried. "I say that his mouth is full of lies. I say that he cannot see or hear or hunt, that this useless creature knows nothing."
The words rang out into sudden silence, as well they might, for Neen had uttered the deadliest insult one cat could utter to another.
"Useless,"
Raoul purred, very quietly. Silence quivered, tense and waiting.
"You give me your word,"
Norn growled finally, his eyes closing almost entirely.
"You,
a stranger.
My kit tells me that you are filled with lies. How am I to know which one of you is right?
With your permission, Clan Chief,
Raoul said, a growl throbbing in his words.
I shall show you.
Neen let out a hiss, his fur rising, his claws sliding from his paws. Neen was large, larger than Raoul. His fur shone with health, and his claws were long and sharp. He stood upon his home territory, surrounded by those loyal to him, and having not done battle multiple times in the past several hours, he was fresh. Raoul would have no chance of surviving battle with the Prince of the Nine Claws, not with all the warriors and hunters present who would support him. But if the clan chief permitted it, he might be able to beat Neen standing alone. Norn stared hard at Raoul for a long moment, as if waiting for any quiver of movement. Raoul faced him, completely still, showing every ounce of respect he could muster.
Yes,
Norn said then. Raoul, Prince of the Silent Paws of Habel Morning, let out the throaty music of his war cry and flung himself at Neen, claws extended, with Little Mouse's fate hanging in the balance.